Chris put his hand on my shoulder. You're both going to get through this. You have family and friends looking... What family? His arm fell to his side. No, don't, I said, hating that he'd pulled away, hating that I'd put that look of hurt on his face. Look, I'm glad you're here. I didn't expect it, but I'm glad. He pulled me into a firm embrace. Then learn to expect it, he said gruffly. Because I'm not backing off this time, Gideon. We're family. Maybe now we can start to think about what that means to all of us. You and me, your mother, Christopher, and Ireland. Head bowed against his shoulder, I fought for some measure of composure. I was tired, weary to my bones. My brain wasn't processing anything well. That had to be why I felt... Fuck. I didn't know what I felt. Ava's father and Carrie were devastated. Stanton. I couldn't even begin to imagine how shattered he must be. Whatever I was feeling didn't matter much in comparison. Stressed, my mind straying, I spoke without thinking. Christopher would need a complete personality transplant to ever be family to me. Chris stiffened and pulled away. I know you and Christopher don't get along, but through no fault of mine, let's be clear about that. I tried to fight the question, tried to swallow it back unsaid. Has he ever discussed with you why he hates me? For fuck's sake. Why? Why did I have to ask? It shouldn't matter. Not after all these damn years. Chris pulled away, shaking his head. He doesn't hate you, Gideon. I straightened, willing myself not to shake. From exhaustion or emotion, I couldn't tell. The past was behind me. I'd left it back there, shoved in a box where it belonged. I had Ava now. Damn it. I hoped I still had Ava. My wife had never pushed me to deal with Christopher, as she had with the rest of my family. My brother had gone too far in her eyes, used Magdalena too callously, which Carrie had caught on video. Maybe Ava wouldn't care if I resolved my relationship with Christopher. But maybe she'd be proud of me for trying. And if she was, if it proved to her that I was different, that I'd changed in the way she needed me to. Son of a bitch. I had just backtracked on all the progress we'd made by not telling her about Monica's death the moment I knew. If mending things with my family now would somehow help her forgive me for the lie I'd told, then it was worth whatever it cost me to make the effort. I forced my hands to relax. When I spoke, my voice was low and even. I need to show you something. I gestured for my stepfather to sit at my desk. When he slid the chair forward, I shook the mouse to wake the monitor. Hugh's handwritten notes filled the screen. Chris's eyes darted from side to side, quickly reading. I knew the moment he understood what he was looking at. His spine stiffened. I don't know how much of this is true, I cautioned. Hugh's notes about his sessions with me are all lies. This reads like he was building a profile of me to use as a defense, in case we ever filed charges against him. We should have. The words were bitten out between clenched teeth. How did you get these? It doesn't matter. What's important is that he has notes from four different sessions with Christopher. One of them was supposedly a group session with me. Either that's a fabrication or I've forgotten. Which do you think it is? I really can't say. There are chunks of my childhood I can't remember. I recalled more in dreams than I did when awake. Chris swiveled in the chair to look at me. Do you think he molested your brother? It took a beat for me to shove the memories away and respond. I don't know. You'll have to ask Christopher. But I doubt it. Why? The dates and times on Hugh's notes put Christopher's sessions directly following mine. If those timestamps are correct, which would be wise if he was covering his tracks, then he wouldn't have it in him. My arms crossed. Trying to explain brought back all the bitterness and loathing for both Hugh and myself. He was a sick piece of shit, but, listen, there's no tidy way to say this. He never had anything left after he was done with me. My God, Gideon. I turned my gaze away from the shock and simmering fury in his eyes. Hugh told Christopher he was seeing me because you and Mom were afraid I would kill him. Thinking of the other people in the penthouse was the only thing that restrained me from punching a wall. God knew I'd lashed out with my fists more than once as a kid. Remembering what I could of that time, I could see how easily Hugh's brainwashing might have taken root in the mind of a small boy whose older brother frequently had fits of rage and destruction. Christopher wouldn't believe that, he asserted. My shoulders lifted in a weary shrug. Christopher told me once, recently, that I'd wanted him dead since the day he was born. I had no idea what he was talking about. But now... Let me read, he said grimly, turning back to the monitor. Go take that shower. We'll have some coffee when you get out. Or something stronger. I started to leave the room, but paused before I opened the door. Looking back at Chris, I saw him focused tautly on the words in front of him. You didn't know Hugh like I did, I told him. How he could twist things around, make you believe things. Chris's gaze came up and held mine. You don't have to convince me, Gideon. Your word is enough. I glanced away quickly. Did he have any idea what those four words meant to me? I couldn't tell him. My throat was too raw. With a nod, I left him. It took longer than it should have to put some goddamned clothes on. I chose with Ava in mind. The gray slacks she loved. A black V-neck t-shirt. Done. There was a knock at the door. Come in. Angus filled the frame. The detectives are on their way up. All right. I walked with him down the hall to the living room. My wife sat on the couch, bundled in sweatpants and a baggy sweater with socks on her feet. Her head rested on Victor's shoulder, his cheek against the crown of her head. Her fingers stroked through Carrie's hair as he sat on a pillow by her knee. Couldn't get more connected than that. The television was on, tuned to a movie none of them were watching. Ava. Her gaze slid slowly over to me. I held out my hand to her. The police are here. Victor straightened, jarring my wife into sitting up. A brisk rap on the foyer door had everyone on alert. Stepping closer to the couch, I kept my arm extended. Ava slowly disentangled herself and stood, her face still far too pale. She put her hand in mine, and I exhaled a sigh of relief. I pulled her close draping my arms over her shoulders and pressing a kiss to her forehead. I love you, I said softly, walking her toward the door. Her arms came around my waist, and she leaned into me. I know. I turned the knob. Detectives, please come in. Graves entered first, her sharp blue eyes going immediately to Ava. Mikna followed, his height advantage over his partner allowing him to lock eyes with me. He gave me a brisk nod. Mr. Cross? Ava stepped away from me as I closed the door. We're very sorry for your loss, Mrs. Cross, Graves said, in that way cops had that told you they said those words too often. You may remember Ava's father, Victor Reyes, I said, and the tall Scotsman over there is Angus MacLeod. The detectives both nodded, but Graves took the lead, as usual. Detective Shelley Graves and my partner Detective Richard Mikna. She looked at Carrie, whom she'd spoken with just hours before. Mr. Taylor? I gestured toward the dining table. Let's have a seat. My wife smoothed her hair back with unsteady hands.
Can I get you both some coffee? Or water?
Coffee would be great, Mikna said, pulling out a chair for himself. I'll get it, Chris interjected, entering the room from the hallway. Hello, I'm Gideon's stepfather, Chris Vidal. Acknowledged by the detectives, he passed through to the kitchen. Graves took the seat beside her partner, setting a battered leather satchel on the table at her elbow. Where she was reed thin, he was portly. Her hair was brown and curly, held back in a ponytail as severe as her fox-like face. Mikna's hair was both graying and thinning, bringing more focus to his dark eyes and rugged features. Graves eyed me as I pulled a chair out for my wife. I met her look and held it, seeing the dark knowledge of my crime. In return, I let her see my resolve. Yes, I'd done some immoral deeds for the sake of protecting my wife. I owned those decisions, even the ones I'd take to my grave. I sat next to Ava, pulling my chair close and taking her hand in my own. Victor settled on the other side, with Carrie beside him. Angus stood behind me.
Can you both run through your evening, starting with when you arrived at the event? Mikna asked.
I went first, painfully aware of Ava's attention to every word I said. Only the last few moments were lost to her, but I knew those minutes were vital.
You didn't see the shooter? Graves pressed.
No. I heard Raoul shout, and I got Ava on the ground. It's protocol for the security team to evacuate at the first sign of trouble. They escorted us away in the opposite direction, and I didn't look back. My focus was on my wife, who was unconscious at the time.
You didn't see Monica Stanton go down?
Ava's hand tightened on mine. I shook my head. No. I had no idea anyone had been injured until several minutes after we left the scene. Mikna looked at Ava.
At what point did you lose consciousness, Mrs. Cross?
She licked lips that were starting to crack.
I hit the sidewalk pretty hard. Gideon rolled over, holding me down. I couldn't breathe, and then someone covered Gideon. They were both so heavy. I thought I heard two, maybe three shots. I'm not sure. When I came to, I was in the limo.
Okay, Mikna nodded. Thank you. Graves unzipped the satchel and pulled out a file folder. Opening it, she pulled out a mugshot and set it on the table facing us.
Do either of you recognize this man?
I bent closer. Blonde with green eyes,
A trimmed beard? Average looking.
Aye, Angus said, drawing my head around to look at him. He's the chap we ran off in Westport, the one who was taking pictures.
We're going to need a statement from you, Mr. MacLeod, Mikna advised.
Of course.
He straightened, his arms crossing.
He's the one who shot Mrs. Stanton?
Yes, his name is Roland Tyler Hall. Have you ever had contact with this man, Mr. Cross? Ever recall speaking with him?
No, I replied, searching my memory and coming up blank.
Ava leaned forward. Was he stalking her? Some kind of obsession? Her questions were softly voiced, her muted grief edged with an icy fury. It was the first spark I'd seen in her since I broke the news, and it came at the moment that I remembered what else I was keeping from her. Her mother's shadowy past. A tangled history that could be the reason Monica was dead now. Graves began sliding out images, starting with the Westport photos. It's not your mother Hall was fixated on.
What?
The dread I felt reversed back into the fear that had plagued me all night. There were so many images, it was hard to focus on any single one. Numerous pictures taken of us outside the crossfire. Some from events, which looked like standard paparazzi shots. Others caught us out on the town. Ava reached for the corner of one and slid it out, gasping at the image of me dipping her into a passionate kiss on a crowded city sidewalk outside a cross-trainer gym. The photo had been the first of us to go viral. I had responded to press inquiries with the confirmation that she was the significant woman in my life, and she'd opened up to me about Nathan and her past. There was another widely seen image of us, capturing us arguing in Bryant Park. Another picture of us in the park on a different day showed us embracing. I hadn't seen that one before.
He didn't sell all of these, I said.
Graves shook her head. Most of the photos Hall took for himself. When money ran low, he'd sell a few. He hasn't worked in months and lives out of his car. Sliding the top layer of pictures around to expose the ones underneath, I realized that many of the times Ava and I had spotted a photographer, it had been Hall holding the camera. I sat back, releasing Ava's hand to put my arm around her and pull her close. Hall had been so near to my wife, and we hadn't even known it.
"Let me see those," Victor said.
I pushed them down the table, the top layer sliding over the first. The images left behind had me straightening in my chair. I pulled out the highly publicized picture of Magdalena and me that helped trigger the infamous fight with Ava in Bryant Park, and another of me and Corinne at the Kingsman vodka party. My breathing quickened. I released Ava, sliding to the edge of my chair to sift through the images with both hands. Carrie leaned forward to look over Victor's shoulder.
Was this guy just a really bad shot? Or did he confuse Monica for Ava?
He wasn't stalking Ava, I said tightly, the horrific realization sinking in. I pulled out the photo from the nightclub of me and two women. Taken in May, it preceded Ava's arrival in New York. Graves met my questioning gaze with a nod. Hall is obsessed with you, which meant I hadn't just hidden what I knew of Monica's life. I was also indirectly responsible for her death.
15. Moving closer to the table, I set my hand on Gideon's back and felt the tension there. His skin was so warm beneath the soft cotton of his T-shirt, the muscles stretched tight. Chris came in from the kitchen with a tray bearing 4 steaming mugs of coffee, a small cup of half and half, and sugar in a bowl. He set it down near Mikna, since the rest of the dining table was covered in pictures. The detectives thanked him, and each took a mug. Graves took her coffee black. Mikna added a splash of cream and a sprinkling of sugar. I'd only seen Mikna in the course of the investigation into Nathan's death. I knew Graves more personally. I'd sparred with her during Parker's Krav Maga classes. I believed Graves liked me or was at least sympathetic. And I was certain it was Gideon's love for me that swayed her into closing Nathan's case while she still had questions. It comforted me to have them in charge. I want to be sure I understand, I said, pushing through the grief that had fogged my mind all day. This man was stalking Gideon? My dad shoved the photos away.
Was Hall targeting my daughter or Cross?
Hall believes Cross betrayed him, Graves answered, by getting married. I stared at her. She wore no jewelry or makeup, yet she was fiercely compelling. Pummeled by the realities of her job, she still had a passion for justice, even if it came outside the law. If he couldn't have Gideon, no one could? Not quite, she looked at Gideon. Hall believes he has an entwined destiny with you, some kind of cosmic pact, and that your marriage breaks this pact between you. Killing you is the only way to prevent his life from going in a direction he doesn't want to go.
Is that supposed to make sense?
Carrie asked, setting his elbows on the table and gripping his head in both hands.
Hall's fixation isn't sexual,
Mikna elaborated, looking rumpled and tired from pulling an all-nighter. Still, he was keenly and disconcertingly observant. His partner zeroed in. He assessed the periphery.
It's not even romantic. He claims he's heterosexual.
Graves pulled another photo out of the file and set it atop the others.
You both know this woman.
Anne. My palms were suddenly damp. Gideon's body tautened like a bow.
Fuck me, Carrie muttered,
his fisted hands dropping to the table with a thud that made me jump.
I saw her last night,
Chris said, taking a chair by Gideon.
She was at the dinner. Hard to miss that bright red hair. Who is that?
My dad asked, his voice firm and flat.
Dr. Anne Leslie Lucas, Graves replied. She's the psychiatrist who was treating Hall, although she met with him at a second office away from her primary practice, using the alias Dr. Eris Matavosian.
Gideon's breath hissed out between his teeth.
I know that name.
Graves zeroed in, her gaze sharply focused.
How? Just a moment. I'll show you.
He pushed back from the table and headed down the hallway. I watched him go, saw Lucky scampering after him. The puppy had been sticking close to me for most of the morning, as if he thought I'd needed him more than Gideon did right now. Something had changed. And since Lucky's emotional barometer was more accurate than mine at the moment, I needed to pay attention to that.
Will someone explain who Dr. Lucas is?
My father demanded.
And her relevance to Hall and Monica? We'll let Cross fill us all in on that,
Mikna said. They had a sexual relationship a while back, I interjected, wanting to take the burden of telling the story off Gideon's shoulders. He was ashamed of what he'd done. I knew that. I pulled my knees up to my chest and wrapped my arms around them, trying to get warm. I knew I had to choose my words carefully. Telling the whole truth would be difficult, considering the unflattering picture of my husband. My father would see. She got wrapped up in it, I went on, and wanted to leave her husband, so Gideon broke it off. She hasn't been able to move on or get past it. She showed up at my building once and tried approaching Carrie a couple times, wearing a wig, pretending to be someone else. Graves watched me with a sharp, savvy gaze.
We reviewed her complaints. You and Cross confronted her separately on two different occasions. Damn it, Ava! My dad glared at me, his eyes bloodshot and red-rimmed. You know better.
Know what? I shot back. I still don't understand what this all means. She was harassing my best friend and my husband. I told her to back off.
Gideon returned and held out his phone, showing a picture he'd taken. Mikna examined the image.
A prescription for Corinne Giroux, written by Dr. Aris Matavosian. Why do you have this?
There was a time, a couple months ago, Gideon said tonelessly, resuming his seat beside me, when Corinne became erratic. I discovered she'd been seeing a therapist who prescribed antidepressants, which were causing her mood swings. I took a picture of the label so I'd know who to contact if she continued having problems.
Gideon put his arm around me, urging me to lean into him. The moment I was pressed against him, I felt him sag heavily into the chair, as if holding me was a major relief. I slid my arm around his waist, felt his lips press against my forehead. His chest rumbled beneath my ear as he spoke.
So Anne was Hall's therapist,
he said, his voice rough with fatigue.
Why the alias?
She thought she was so smart, Graves said bluntly. We're smarter, and we have Hall, who is very disturbed but also very cooperative. He confessed the minute we sat down with him. He was also clever, or paranoid, enough to secretly record all of his sessions with Dr. Lucas, which we recovered during a search of his vehicle.
Did she put him up to this? I asked, wanting to be sure there was no misunderstanding.
I don't think Hall was ever playing with a full deck, Mikna said. But he used to have a job, a place to live, and no particular interest in Cross. And Lucas did a number on him.
Graves started gathering up the photos with the help of her partner.
He mentioned to her that he dropped out of school after the Cross Ponzi scheme wiped out his grandparents. It wasn't something he held a grudge over, but she got him thinking that his life and Cross's are paralleled in some way.
Can she go to jail for that? I hung on tighter to Gideon.
What she did, that's part of the reason my mom's gone. She can't just get away with that, right?
We picked her up about an hour ago.
Graves held my gaze, and I saw her determination. When her lawyer shows up, we'll take a crack at her.
The DA's office will determine the full extent of the charges,
Mikna said.
But Hall's recordings, plus security footage of both Lucas and Hall entering and leaving her secondary office, gave us probable cause.
You'll keep us posted, my father said.
Of course.
Graves tucked everything back in her satchel, then shot a look at Gideon.
Did you see Dr. Lucas at the dinner?
Yes, he answered,
his hand stroking up and down my arm.
Ava pointed her out to me.
Did either of you speak with her at all? Mikna asked.
No.
Gideon looked down at me with a question in his eyes. I flicked her the bird from a distance, I confessed, the memory of her drifting through my blurry mind. She had the smirk on her face. Maybe that's why she was there, so she could see what happened.
Angel.
Gideon enfolded me, wrapping me into his warmth and the scent of his skin.
All right, we've got what we need for now,
Graves said briskly.
We'll just take Mr. McLeod's statement regarding the Westport incident and be on our way. Thank you for your time.
Dismissed, we all pushed back from the table.
Ava.
Graves waited until our gazes met. For a moment, she wasn't just a cop.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Self-conscious, I looked away from Graves. Did she wonder at my dry eyes? God knew I did. As crazy as my mother drove me at times, I loved her. Didn't I? What kind of daughter didn't feel anything when her mom died? Angus took Gideon's abandoned chair and began recounting what had happened in Westport. Gideon took my hand and led me a few feet away.
I need some time with you.
Frowning, I nodded.
Yeah, of course.
He drew me along with him toward our bedroom.
Cross?
We both turned at the sound of my father's voice.
Yes.
Dad stood by the living room, his face hard and his gaze heated.
We have to talk.
Agreed.
Gideon said with a nod.
Just give me 5 minutes with my wife.
He kept going, not giving my dad a chance to object. I followed along to our bedroom, Lucky racing ahead of us. I watched Gideon as he shut the door with the three of us inside. Then he faced me, his gaze searching.
You should take a nap, I told him. You look tired.
And that troubled me. I couldn't recall when I'd ever seen him so wiped out.
Do you see me?
He asked hoarsely.
Are you looking at me and seeing me?
My frown deepened. I looked him over from head to toe. Oh, he dressed for me. Thinking of me. Yes. He reached out and touched my face. His tormented gaze held mine.
I feel like I'm invisible to you.
I see you.
He breathed hard, his chest working as if he'd just run miles.
I'm sorry, Ava. Sorry about Anne. About last night.
I know. Of course I knew that. He was so upset, much more than I was. Why? My self-control was never as good as his, except for now. From the moment I learned the truth, I'd felt an icy resolve form somewhere deep inside me. I didn't understand it, but I used it to deal with the police and my dad and Carrie, who needed me to be strong for them.
Damn it.
He came to me and cupped my face in his hands.
Yell at me. Hit me. For God's sake.
Why?
Why?
He stared at me as if I were crazy.
Because this is my fault. Anne was my problem, and I didn't manage her. I didn't...
You're not responsible for her actions, Gideon, I said crossly. Frustrated, he would think that way. Why would you believe you were? That doesn't make any sense. His hands went to my shoulders, and he gave me a little shake.
You're not making sense. Why aren't you mad that I didn't tell you about your mother? You lost it when I hired Mark and didn't tell you. You left me.
His voice broke.
You're not leaving me over this, Ava. We'll work through it. We'll figure out how to get past it.
I'm not leaving you. I touched his face. You need to sleep, Gideon.
God.
He caught me up and took my mouth, his lips slanting over mine. I put my arms around him, stroking his back to try to calm him down.
Where are you?
He muttered.
Come back to me.
Cupping my jaw, he pressed gently with trembling fingers, urging my mouth to open. The moment it did, his tongue swept inside, licking desperately. With a groan, he pulled me up hard against him, urgently fucking his tongue into my mouth. Heat bloomed inside me. The warmth of his feverishly hot skin penetrated my clothes, sinking into my flesh. Desperate for something to thaw me, I kissed him back, my tongue stroking his.
Ava.
Gideon released me, his hands moving over me, sliding over my back and arms. I pushed up onto the tips of my toes, deepening the contact of our mouths. My hands slid beneath his shirt, and he hissed, arching into me and away from the chill of my fingers. My touch followed, caressing his skin, seeking that warmth.
Yes,
he gasped into my mouth.
God, Ava, I love you.
I licked across his lips, sucked his tongue when he licked me back. The sound he made was both pain and relief, his hands cupping my buttocks and pulling me up against him. I clung to him, lost in him. He was what I needed. I couldn't think about anything else when he was holding me.
Tell me you love me,
he breathed.
that you'll forgive me next week, next year, someday.
I love you. He tore his mouth away, hugging me so tightly it was hard to breathe. My feet dangled above the floor, my temple pressed to his.
I'll make it up to you,
he vowed.
I'll find a way.
Shh. It was there, in the back of my mind. The dismay, the hurt. But I didn't know whether it was because of Gideon or my mom. I closed my eyes, focused on the adored, familiar scent of him. Kiss me again. Gideon turned his head, his lips finding mine. I craved deeper, harder, but he denied me. As ferociously passionate as his first kisses had been, this one was soft, tender. I whimpered a protest, my hands pushing into his hair to pull him closer.
Angel.
He nuzzled against me.
Your dad's waiting.
Oh, God. I loved my dad, but his agony and helpless rage were pouring off him, battering me. I didn't know how to comfort or soothe. There was a void inside me, as if I had nothing left to give anyone, but everyone needed me. Putting me back on my feet, Gideon searched my face again.
Let me be here for you. Don't shut me out.
I'm not trying to. I looked away toward the bathroom. There's a towel on the floor. Why is it there? There's something wrong.
Yes, everything,
he said tightly.
It's all fucked up. I don't know what to do.
No. Wrong inside me.
Ava. How can you say that? There's nothing wrong with you.
He cupped my face again, brought it around. You nicked yourself. I touched the little spot of dried blood on his jaw. You never do that either.
What's going on in that head of yours?
He wrapped himself around me.
I don't know what to do,
he said again.
I don't know what to do.
Gideon kept my hand in his as we returned to the living room. My father looked over from where he sat on the couch, then stood, worn jeans, a faded UCSD t-shirt, the shadow of stubble on his strong square jaw. Gideon had shaved. Why hadn't I processed that when I noticed the cut from the razor? Why hadn't I noticed that he'd changed out of his tux? Some things came to me with strange clarity. Others were lost in the fog in my mind. The detectives were gone. Carrie was curled up against the armrest of the couch, fast asleep, his mouth hanging partway open. I could hear him snoring softly.
We can step into my office,
Gideon said, releasing my hand to gesture down the hallway. With a curt nod, my dad rounded the coffee table.
Lead the way.
Gideon started walking. I fell into step behind him.
Ava.
My dad's voice stopped me, and I turned around.
I need to speak to Cross alone.
Why?
I've got things to say that you don't need to hear.
I shook my head slowly. No. He made a frustrated noise.
We're not arguing about this.
Dad, I'm not a child. Anything you have to say to my husband has something to do with me, and I think I should be involved.
I have no objection,
Gideon said, returning to my side. My father's jaw tensed, his gaze darting back and forth between us.
Fine.
We all went to Gideon's office. Chris was sitting at Gideon's desk, talking on the phone. He pushed back and stood when we came in.
Whenever you're done for the day, he said to whomever he was talking to. I'll explain when I see you. All right. Talk to you then, son.
I need my office a minute,
Gideon told him when he hung up.
Sure.
His concerned gaze raked all three of us.
I'll pull out some plates and things for lunch. We all need to eat something.
Chris left the room, which drew my eye to my dad, who was staring at the massive collage of photos on the wall. The one in the center was of me, sleeping. It was an intimate image, the kind of picture a man took to remember the things he had done with his lover before she'd fallen asleep. I looked at the other photos, noted one of me and Gideon at an event that I now knew had been captured by Hall. I turned my head away, feeling a prickle run down my spine. Fear? Hall had taken my mother from me. But who he'd really wanted was Gideon. I could be mourning my husband now. My stomach cramped at the thought, hunching me over.
Angel.
He was near me in an instant, urging me to sit in one of the two chairs facing his desk.
What's wrong?
My dad hovered, too, his eyes wild. I couldn't recognize my own feelings, but I saw his. He was frightened for me, more anxious than was warranted. I'm okay, I assured them, even as I reached for Gideon's hand and held on tight.
You need to eat, Gideon said.
So do you, I countered. The sooner you two get done, the faster we can do that. Just the thought of food made me queasy, but I didn't say that. They were both already too worried about me. My dad straightened.
I spoke to my family, he told Gideon. They still want to come and be here for Ava and me.
Gideon half sat on the edge of his desk, one hand running through his hair.
Okay. We were going to fly them direct to North Carolina. We'll have to adjust the flight plan. I would appreciate that, my dad said grudgingly. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Then why do you look worried? I said to Gideon, seeing his frown.
It's a madhouse on the street right now. We can bring your family in through the garage, but if word gets out that they're in town, they may have to deal with media and photographers at their hotel or anywhere else they may go in the city.
They're not coming to sightsee, my dad snapped.
That's not what I meant, Victor.
Gideon sighed wearily.
I'm just thinking out loud. I'll work it out. Consider it taken care of.
I pictured how it must be downstairs outside the lobby. Imagined my grandmother and cousins wading through a gauntlet like that. I shook my head and had a moment of clarity. If they want to come, we should go to the Outer Banks like we planned. We already have the rooms reserved for them. It'll be quiet and private. Suddenly, I longed to be at the beach, feeling the wind in my hair, the surf lapping at my bare feet. I'd felt alive there. I wanted to feel alive again. We had catering arranged. We'd have food and beverages for everyone. Gideon looked at me.
I had Scott talk to Christine. We pulled out of everything.
It can't have been more than a few hours ago. The hotel probably hasn't filled the room block in that short of time, and the caterer already has the things well underway at this point.
You really want to go to the beach house?
He asked me quietly. I nodded. There were no memories of my mom there, as there were in the city, and if I wanted to step outside and take a walk, no one would bother me.
Okay, then. I'll take care of it.
I looked at my dad, hoping that plan was good with him. He stood beside me, his arms crossed and his gaze on his feet. Finally, he said,
What happened changes everything. For all of us. I want to move to New York.
Taken aback, I glanced at Gideon, then back at my dad. Really?
It's going to take some time for me to deal with work and selling my house, but I'm going to get the ball rolling.
He looked at me.
I need to be closer than the other side of the damn country. You're all I've got.
Oh, Dad, you love your job.
I love you more. What will you do for work?
Gideon asked. There was something in his tone that drew my attention to him. He'd twisted a bit to face us better, drawing one thigh up to the desktop and resting his crossed hands atop it. He watched my father avidly. There wasn't any of the surprise on his face that I felt.
That's what I wanted to talk about,
my dad said. his handsome face grim.
Ava needs a dedicated security chief.
Gideon said, preemptively.
I've got Angus and Raoul stretched to their limits, and my wife needs her own security team.
My mouth fell open as I registered what my husband had said. What? No, Gideon. His brows rose.
Why not? It would be ideal. There's no one I could trust more to protect you than your own father.
Because it's weird, okay? Dad's his own man. It would be awkward to have my father on my husband's payroll. It's just not right.
Angus is the closest I've had to a father,
he pointed out,
and he works the same job.
His gaze lifted to my dad.
I don't think any less of him. And Chris, as the head of a company in which I have controlling interest, also could be said to work for me.
That's different, I said stubbornly.
Ava.
My dad set his hand on my shoulder.
If I can handle it, you should be able to.
I turned wide eyes to him. Are you serious? Were you thinking about this before he brought it up? He nodded, still somber.
I've been thinking about it since he called me about... your mom. Cross is right. There's no one I trust more than myself to keep you safe.
Safe from what? What happened last night? It's not an everyday thing. I couldn't think differently. Living with the fear that Gideon might be in danger at any given moment, it would drive me insane. I certainly couldn't live with putting my dad in the line of fire.
Ava, I've seen you more on television, the internet, and in magazines than I have in person this entire last year, and you were living in San Diego for most of that time.
His face hardened.
God willing, you'll never be at risk, but I can't take that chance. Besides, Cross is planning on hiring someone anyway. Might as well be me.
Were you? I demanded, rounding on Gideon. He nodded.
Yes, it's been on my mind.
I don't like it.
I'm sorry, Angel.
His tone of voice told me I'd just have to suck it up. My dad's arms crossed.
I won't accept any perks or compensation outside the scope of what you're paying your other men.
Gideon unfolded and rounded his desk, opening a drawer to withdraw a paper-clipped sheaf of paper.
Angus and Raoul both agreed to let me share their salaries with you. I've also laid out what you can expect to start.
I can't believe this, I complained. You were this far along and didn't say anything to me?
I worked on it earlier this morning. It hasn't come up before now, and I wasn't going to say anything unless your father mentioned moving to the city.
And that was Gideon Cross. He never missed a trick. My dad took the papers, perused the top sheet, then looked at Gideon incredulously.
Is this for real? Consider that Angus has been with me for more years of my life than not. He also has considerable covert and military training. In short, he's earned it.
Gideon watched as my dad flipped the page.
Raoul has been with me a shorter amount of time, so he's not where Angus is. Yet. But he also has a broad range of training and skills.
My dad exhaled in a rush when he flipped to the next page.
Okay. This is more than you were likely expecting. But that spreadsheet gives you the info you need to gauge the offered compensation compared to my other chiefs. You can see that it's fair. It's predicated on the expectation that you will consent to further training and attain the necessary permits, licenses, and registrations.
I watched my dad's shoulders go back and his chin lift, the stubborn line of his mouth softening. Whatever he saw, he was taking as a challenge.
All right. You'll note that a housing allowance is included.
Gideon continued, in full-on mogul mode despite his matter-of-fact tone.
If you would like, there's a unit next door to Ava's former apartment that's available and furnished.
I caught my lower lip between my teeth, knowing he was talking about the apartment he'd kept while Nathan was a threat. We had met there clandestinely for weeks while keeping up the facade that we were no longer together.
I'll think about it,
my dad said.
Another thing to think about,
Gideon began,
is the reality of your daughter being my wife. Certainly we would be mindful of your personal role in Ava's life and be respectful of that, but respecting your place as her father means we won't be brazen. It doesn't mean we won't be intimate.
Oh, my God. My shoulders hunched with embarrassment. I glared at Gideon. So did my dad. It took my father a long minute to unclench his jaw and respond.
I'll keep that in mind while I'm thinking things over.
Gideon gave a brisk nod.
All right. Was there anything else we needed to cover?
My dad shook his head.
Not right now.
I crossed my arms, knowing I'd have more to say at some point.
You know where to find me, Angel, when you're ready to tear into me.
My husband offered his hand to me.
In the meantime, let's get some food into you.
Dr. Peterson showed up around 3, looking a little rattled. Getting through the throng on the sidewalk to enter the lobby had obviously been a trial. Gideon introduced him to everyone as I watched, trying to judge his reaction to meeting the people he'd heard such intimate things about. He spoke to me briefly, offering his condolences. He'd liked my mother and often was somewhat indulgent about her neurotic behavior, to my frustration. I could tell he was affected by her loss, which made me wonder how I came across to him. Evidently, he couldn't quite tell. I struggled to answer his questions about how I was doing. He talked with Gideon for a much longer time, retreating with my husband to the dining room where they spoke in hushed tones. But not for long. Gideon turned toward me, and I understood their talk was over. I accompanied Dr. Peterson to the foyer and saw him out, but not before I spotted my clutch on an end table. When I retrieved my phone, I saw the dozens of missed calls and texts. Megumi, Will, Shauna, Dr. Travis, even Brett. I opened my messages and started to send out replies when the phone vibrated in my hand with an incoming call. I saw the name of the caller, looked up at Carrie, and found him talking with my dad, then headed down the hall to the bedroom. Through the slender windows, I could see how far the afternoon had progressed. It would be dark in a few hours, and the first day without my mom would be over. Hi, Trey.
Ava. I probably shouldn't be intruding at a time like this, but I saw the news, and I was calling you before I thought about it being a bad idea. I just wanted to tell you how sorry I am.
I took a seat in one of the reading chairs, refusing to think about what the headlines might be shouting right now.
I appreciate you thinking of me. I can't believe what happened. If there's anything I can do, please let me know.
I let my heavy head fall back against the seat and closed my eyes. I recalled Trey's handsome face, his kind hazel eyes, and the little bump on his nose that told me it had once been broken. Look, Trey, I don't want to lay a guilt trip on you, but you should know that my mother meant a lot to Carrie. She was like a surrogate mom to him. He's really hurting a lot right now. He sighed.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I meant to call you. Before? I curled my legs up beneath me. To see how you're doing, but also... Well, there's more. I wanted to tell you that I know you have to do what's best for you. That said, if you're thinking at all that you might want something with Carrie, you should make up your mind quickly. The door is closing.
Let me guess. He's seeing someone,
he said flatly. No, just the opposite. He's taking some time for himself and reevaluating what he wants. You know he broke it off with Tatiana, right?
That's what he says.
If you don't trust him to tell the truth, it's good you broke things off.
I'm sorry.
He made a low, frustrated noise.
That's not what I meant.
Carrie's healing, Trey. Pretty soon, he's going to be ready to move on. It's just something you need to think about.
All I've done is think about it. I still don't know what the answer is.
I rubbed the space between my brows. Maybe you're asking the wrong question. Are you happier with him or without him? Figure that out, and I think the rest will become clear.
Thank you, Ava.
For what it's worth, you and I kind of took the same route. Gideon and I always said we were going to make it work, but that was...
I don't know.
I searched through my brain fog. Bravado? Stubbornness. That was part of our problem. We knew it was a house of cards. We weren't taking the steps to make us solid. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But we both made big changes, just like Carrie has for you, and big concessions. I felt my husband enter the room and opened my eyes. It was worth it, Trey, I said softly. It's not wishful thinking anymore. We'll still hit bumps. People will throw us some curveballs. But when we say we're going to get through anything, it's nothing but the truth.
You're telling me to give Carrie another chance.
I reached out to Gideon, felt a soft stirring in my chest as he came to me. I'm saying I think you'll like the changes he's made. And if you meet him halfway, you might find it's worth the trip. Chris left for the evening shortly after 6 to have dinner with Christopher. For some reason, he and Gideon exchanged a long look as my husband showed him out. I let it go without asking for an explanation. Their relationship had shifted. The wariness they used to regard each other with was gone. There was no way I was going to question it or make Gideon think too hard about it. It was time for him to make some decisions with his heart. My dad and Carrie left around 9, heading back to my old apartment, since there was room for both of them there and not enough in the penthouse. Would my dad stay in the bedroom where he'd last made love to my mother? How would he bear it if he did? When Gideon and I had been apart, I'd had to stay at Stanton's. My room had too many memories of Gideon, and the last thing I needed was to be tormented with reminders of what I wanted more than anything, yet feared I couldn't have. Gideon went around the penthouse turning off lights, Lucky following him every step of the way. I watched my husband move. His tread heavier than usual. He was so tired. I had no idea how he'd managed to get through the day, considering how busy he'd been in the morning's aftermath, coordinating with Christine, answering the occasional call from Scott, and catching a rash up on the visit with the police.
Angel.
He held his hand out to me. I stared at it a moment. All day long he'd offered me his hand. Such a simple thing, really, but it was powerful. I'm here, it said. You're not alone. We can do this together. Rising from my seat on the sofa, I linked my fingers with his and let him lead me to the bedroom and into the bathroom. There, I went through nearly the same routine as he did, brushing my teeth, washing my face. He added the step of taking one of the pills Dr. Peterson had prescribed. Then I followed him into the bedroom and let him undress me, before sliding another T-shirt over my head. He tucked me in with a soft, slow kiss. "Where are you going?" I asked, when he walked away.
"Nowhere."
He stripped with brusque efficiency, leaving his boxer briefs on. Then he joined me in bed, helped Lucky scramble up, then turned off the light. Rolling toward me, he caught me around the waist and pulled me back against him, spooning behind me. I moaned softly at the heat of his body and shivered as it combated the chill in my bones. I closed my eyes, focusing on the sound and feel of him breathing. Within a few moments, the tempo fell into the rhythmic evenness of sleep. The wind whips through my hair as I walk along the shore, my feet sinking into the sand as the surf erodes every step. Ahead of me, I see the weathered shingles of the beach house Gideon bought for us. It sits perched above the tide on tall stilts, its many windows gazing far out over the water. Gulls circle and cry out above me, their quick dips and arrested hovering like a dance in the salt-tinged breeze. I can't believe I'm going to miss the reception. I turn my head and discover my mother walking beside me. She's wearing the same elegant formal gown I last saw her in. She's so beautiful, truly breathtaking. My eyes burn to look at her. We're all going to miss it, I tell her. I know. And I worked so hard on it. She glances at me, the ends of her hair fluttering along her cheek. I did manage to work some touches of red in. Did you? That makes me smile despite my pain. She does love me the best way she knows how. Just because it's not always the way I want her to doesn't mean it's not precious for what it is. It really is a garish color for a wedding, though. It was difficult. It's kind of your fault, you know, for buying that red dress I wore the first night Gideon took me out as his date. Is that what inspired you? She shakes her head. Next time, you should pick a softer accent color. There won't be a next time. Gideon is it for me. I pick up a shell, then toss it back into the water it came from. There were times I wasn't sure we'd make it, but I don't worry about that anymore. We were our own worst enemy, but we let go of the baggage weighting us down. The first few months are supposed to be the easy part. My mom dances a little ahead of me and gives a graceful twirl. The courtship, fabulous trips, sparkling jewels, I snort. It wasn't easy for us. The beginning was the rockiest, but it gets smoother every day. You'll have to help your father find someone, she says. The girlish delight faded from her voice. He's been lonely for so long. You're a hard act to follow. He still loves you.